Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street. Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for another opportunity to come together to study your word, to hear your word, to be your word. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that's here to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, think through my mind, speak through these lips, that I would clearly state those things that we need to hear so that we can continue to grow from faith to faith. We put Satan on notice right now, as always, that he is defeated and under our feet. He cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in these proceedings. Father, we're going to be very careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that will be accomplished in these next minutes for the benefit of your people. In Jesus' name we claim it, and the people of God say, Amen. All right, family, we are continuing with our teaching entitled Redeemed in Jesus, What Does It Mean to Be Redeemed? Last week we completed Redemption Benefit Number 2, and began Redemption Benefit Number 3 under Part 3 of this teaching, which is Redemption under the New Testament. As I have stated each week, this teaching on redemption consists of three parts, which includes Part 1, God's original intent for mankind, Part 2, Atonement under the Old Testament, both of which we finished several weeks ago, and Part 3, Redemption under the New Testament, which we are currently examining. Each part of this teaching is necessary to understand and appreciate Jesus' redemptive work and our better position in Him as sons of God. Therefore, if you have missed any of the weekly teachings, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes now archived under our radio broadcast page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Today we will complete Redemption Benefit Number 3, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. Again, Redemption Benefit Number 3. We are heirs of the kingdom of God in this earth realm. We are not waiting to go to heaven to receive our inheritance in Jesus. Our Heavenly Father wants us to enjoy our blood-bought inheritance here on the earth realm. Once again, as Christians, we are not waiting for Jesus to give us the victory. We already have the victory because of the work He completed through His life, death, and resurrection. Today, Jesus, our High Priest, sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, interceding on our behalf as we speak His living words over our circumstances and to bring manifestation the blessings of God in our lives here on earth. Let's read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession," in other words, words of faith, "for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Family, we are in an awesome position as the children of God. And as a Heavenly Father, we can come directly to Him and petition through prayer, words of faith, to find help in the time of need. Let's continue with this topic of our new position in Christ, being able to access the Heavenly Father directly. Let's go or stay right there in the book of Hebrews and go to chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23 say, "Therefore, brethren," referring to the sons of God, "having boldness or confidence to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which Jesus consecrated for us through the veil, that is, Jesus' flesh." Verse 21, "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession," again, words of faith, "of our hope without wavering, for God who promised is faithful." So again, family, not only do we have the privilege to come to our Heavenly Father directly, but then because we have that living word, the Holy Bible, in written form, we can utilize the Word of God directly from God's Holy Scriptures. We can use those words of faith to determine, to fashion our lives in this earth realm. That is what Jesus paid His precious blood and life for, so that we would be empowered to do the work that He left us to do with excellence, doing it with boldness, and having the confidence that we are going to be victorious, not because of what we do, but because what Jesus has already done. Amen. Let's continue. God told us to bind and loose those things we desired in this realm. So let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. The scriptures tell us, again, Matthew 16, 19 says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The way we bind and loose in this earth realm, family, is through our words. And our words are so powerful that I'm about to give you several scriptures from the Holy Bible that lets us know that we have the authority, power, and dominion in our very words. So we want to make sure that we choose words that line up with the Word of God and that we do not speak words that are contrary to God's Word, words that Satan would have us say in order to cause defeat in our lives. Again, our words are powerful and change the circumstances of our lives if we utilize the authority and power of our redemption in Christ. It is our words that activate our faith and cause the manifestation of God's promises in our individual lives. It is for this reason that God said that death and life was in the power of our tongue. And this word tongues really refers to words, our words, the power of our words. When we speak God's word over the circumstances of life, we will receive the blessings Jesus purchased with His sacrificial life. So let's look at biblical scripture that talk about the authority of our words. Let's start with the book of Matthew, chapter 12, 1 verse, verse 37. Matthew 12, 37. Jesus is speaking, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Notice that it does not mention actions, what we do, but rather but what we say. And the reason that this words have such an authority in this earth realm is because of the following. Some weeks ago, I completed a teaching on the battle in your mind. For those of you that have been listening into this program found out that the mind is the arena in which Satan tries to come against each and every individual, but especially us Christians, to get us off track. So he drops in negative thoughts, ideas, and suggestions into our mind so that we can start to dwell on that misinformation and eventually speak it out with words and then follow up with our actions. That's the process in which each of us operate in this earth realm, whether you have recognized it or not. Whatever we've been dwelling on, thinking on, meditating on, eventually we're going to speak out in words. And those words are so creative that eventually we will act on our words. So this scripture in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Whatever we are speaking on a consistent basis, it's what's going to fashion our actions and eventually our lifestyle. So family, please pay attention to your thoughts, pay attention to your words, and those words and thoughts that line up with the Word of God will eventually, you will act out. So you don't want to dwell on the negative. Speak the negative, because if you do, those negative thoughts and words are going to be a part of your life. All right, let's continue. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. Again, we're talking about the authority in our words, and we want to make sure that our words always line up with the Word of God. Proverbs 12, 13 says, "The is snared or trapped by the transgression," referring to sin, "of his lips. But the righteous will come through trouble." Again, the wicked is ensnared or trapped by the transgression or sin of his lips. Now, he's not referring to just the organ of the lips, but rather the words that come out of our mouths. So these words have a lot of authority and power, but the righteous will come through trouble. Remember, family, we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, and we have a choice. We can will to do what God has called us to do. We can will to line up our lives according to God's word. And when we choose to speak the word over all our circumstances, then we will have that victorious, overcoming life that Jesus paid his precious life with. All right, let's continue in the book of Proverbs. Let's read chapter 13, one verse, verse 3. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Again, he who guards his mouth, in other words, his words, preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips, in other words, speaks negative consistently, shall have destruction. So it's on us. We have a choice. We have a free will, and we can choose to line up our words with the Word of God, or we can choose to continue to speak what Satan tells us to speak through negative thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. Let's read two more passages in the book of Proverbs, and this will conclude redemption benefit number 3. So again, in the book of Proverbs, let's go to chapter 18, one verse, verse 21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Wow. Death and life are in the power. Now, this word power in the Hebrew really refers to authority. So we have the authority over life and death in our lives by the words that we speak. Again, death and life are in the power or authority of the tongue, referring to our words, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You will have what you say, family. Whatever you have been dwelling on, whatever you have been speaking over your life on a continuous basis shall come to pass. That is how powerful our words are. They create. And the creation that you want to do, or at least you should be, your goal should be, is to live according to God's word, speaking those words over your life so that you can be those overcoming, godly people who are victorious spirit, soul, and body. All right, last verse in the book of Proverbs with regards to the authority of our words. Proverbs 21, verse 23. It says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. All right. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue, referring to our words, keeps his soul. And then we all know that in the soul we house the mind. So keeps his mind from troubles. So we can avoid, I would say, 99% of the issues in our life if we kept our mind renewed with the Word of God and lined up our words with the Word of God, that we could eliminate many of the challenges that we come against in this life on a daily basis. We can avoid them by speaking God's living word into our life and operating according to his word in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. All right, so that concludes redemption benefit number 3. Let's continue on with redemption benefit number 4. It is, we have been redeemed from the old man, referring to the sinful nature, and have been reconciled back to the Heavenly Father as a new creation. Again, we have been redeemed from the old man, which it was sinful nature, and have been reconciled back to the Heavenly Father as a new creation. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Let's continue. We are no longer slaves to sin and the lust of the flesh. But in Jesus, we have the power to put sin away and walk in Jesus' fullness. As a result of accepting the gift of salvation, man's recreated spirit is once again united to God, and he is our Heavenly Father. God says in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. Let's go there now. Again, if you have accepted the gift of salvation, you are a new creation. Your spirit has been reconnected with the Heavenly Father as a result of the work that Jesus completed on our behalf. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Again, I want to highlight a couple of things with regards to new creation, because too many Christians do not understand that the new creation is in the spirit realm, the real you, the spirit man. It has nothing to do with the soul or the body. That's why we have so many issues in the body of Christ, because too many Christians don't understand that the newness is in the spirit man, and it is the spirit man that is going to have to renew the mind with the Word of God and put the body under, keeping it from continuing to lust after sinful actions. So the new creation is spirit, has nothing to do with the flesh. Verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, we know that this word reconciliation means to buy back. That's what Jesus did on our behalf. When he completed the work that he did after living out his years, showing us how to operate in the earth realm, then he went on that cross, he shed his blood, his flesh was beaten on our behalf, he physically died, went into hell, took the keys of death from Satan, and then resurrected and now sits at the right hand of God. All of that purchased our freedom from the sinful nature. Amen. So we as Christians have the authority to operate just like Jesus did because he gave us that ability when we received the gift of salvation. He dwells in us, and all that he completed belongs to us. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we have a choice. We can continue to be Christians, baby Christians, fleshly, sinful Christians, or we can choose to accept what Jesus has done and operate in his authority, doing the work that he called us to do, finishing the work, actually, that he started in this earth realm, and then, of course, share the good news of Jesus Christ. As an ambassador, that's what, in the natural, an ambassador would do. He represents the nation that has sent him out, and we are ambassadors for Christ. God has given us an assignment, a mission, to go out and represent his kingdom in this earth realm. All right, last verse, verse 21. For he, referring to God, made him, referring to Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin. Amen. For us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That was the purpose of Jesus dying, resurrecting, and completing the work that he did, was so that we would not continue to live in that sinful nature, but have an opportunity to be reunited with our Heavenly Father. Remember, when we studied under the Old Testament, we talked about that scapegoat who committed no sin and yet was made sin on behalf of the Old Testament saints. That's what Jesus completed under the New Testament once and for all. We don't have to sacrifice any more animals. We don't have to go through the process of what the law required. But we now live under a better covenant with better promises, completed for all eternity through Jesus the Christ. So we want to make sure that when we operate in this earth realm, that we do it with the love and compassion and authority that Jesus paid for with his life, death, and resurrection. All right. Now, this passage that we just read is so powerful that I do want to give you additional scriptures with regards to each verse. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So let's turn to Romans chapter 6. I want to read verses 3 through 6 that deal with this new creation that Jesus purchased with his blood. Let's start with verse number 3, Romans 6, 3 through 6. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Oh, family, I am so very sorry, but it appears that our time is up, and we want to make sure that we close out in time. So please, please come back next week as we continue our lesson on redeemed in Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net. and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.